First day when he gives his speech at the party, I know all of us were kind of eager to be the audience and just to spectate and just watch him perform. And it was really exciting because it was really good and really intimidating.
And I was tangled in strings.
Spader knew what he was in for, and he went for it regardless because he thought, if I'm going to do it, let me really do it.
I think a lot about meteors, the purity of them. Boom, the end, start again. The world made clean for the new man to rebuild. I was meant to be new. I was meant to be beautiful.
Welcome to the Age of Ultron. Yeah, that's the movie we're on this week, the second Avengers movie. I don't know how many of you have seen The Office, but James Spader plays the guy that kind of replaces Michael Scott, and he's also the voice of Ultron. If you ask me, I think it's kind of lame how we haven't had any more Ultron. You know, we haven't seen him again, or he hasn't popped up anywhere. He's just such a good villain. The way he speaks, his kind of demeanor, it's really cool and haunting a little bit, you know? I remember at the time when the trailer came out, there's this one part where he's like, I got no strings on me. The way they showed in the trailer was creepy. Really, really solid Avengers movie. I think Age of Ultron is severely underrated for an Avengers movie. Do I think it's as good as the other ones? No, it's probably the worst Avengers movie, but that doesn't mean it's bad because the other Avengers movies were just absolutely insane. So it's a high bar, but it's definitely like a really sick movie. On a budget of $500 million? Holy shit. That's a crazy budget. So I see two budgets here. One which is budget gross, and that's $500 million, and one that's budget net, and that's $365 million. So I'll leave it up to you to determine which one you want to go by. But that's a lot of money. And this is also came out in 2015, April 13th. So that's 9 years ago, a budget like that. Unreal. But I guess it's okay because on a budget of, let's go with $500 million, they still almost made $1 billion profit, I mean. So the box office for Age of Ultron was $1.4 billion. I guess the reason why it cost so much is because in the first Avengers movie, a lot of these people weren't well-known actors. But after the success of that movie and their solo projects from there, their salaries or the cost of having them in their movies went way up. So it just costs more to have Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Hemsworth or Jeremy Renner or Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hiddleston. Like all these people just cost more, which is fair. It's fair. The movies make money and the actors deserve to be paid accordingly. One thing that I was thinking of when it happened, in the beginning you have them fight through this Hydra base. It's like the last Hydra stronghold and they go to take the scepter back. And then when Tony grabs the scepter, Wanda just like messes up his mind. And this whole time, up until I saw it for this episode, I always just thought that she just put thoughts in his head or manipulated his reality. But what if she was actually showing him a different universe? Because as we now know, Wanda is a Nexus being, which means she can go between the multiverse. So what if she thought she was showing him, she was like warping his reality, but she was actually showing him an actual reality, like a universe that exists, one where he lost the battle in New York? It's possible. I don't know. It's something to ask the Russo brothers or Kevin Feige. It's something to think about. That's all I'm saying. It's really cool. Because it's totally possible Wanda just doesn't know what she's doing yet. I would say the height of her powers is when she gets the Darkhold. And this is the beginning of it. So we see her at the beginning of her journey right now in Age of Ultron. It's so cool seeing the Avengers Tower finished in the beginning when they have the party after they take down that stronghold. Because, you know, I built the Lego and I have all the pieces and stuff. Like a little Lego guy. So it's cool just seeing the Avengers Tower. Maybe I should put the A on its side. One Lego that I was thinking about getting is the Hulkbuster, which makes his appearance in this episode when Wanda gets in the head of the Hulk. I love how Jeremy Renner just like, nah, girl, not this time. And then he puts it in her face and like Fs her up, and then that's when Pietro has to take her out, which if you ask me, they should have never killed Quicksilver. He's an awesome character. He's got sick powers. Every universe needs a speedster. Come on. And then they have the whole Ralph Boner thing. Ugh. This is one scene where Steve Rogers and Tony start arguing, and then he just like rips the log in half. So many girls went nuts when that scene happened. Hilarious. Hey, dude swole. Like, props. Props, bro. While that was happening, you had Mark Ruffalo and Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow and Bruce Banner upstairs. He just got out of a shower and she was like, I would have joined you, blah, blah, blah. She's being flirty, but she really likes him. And he's like, there's no future with me. I can't have kids. I physically can't. And then she says how in the Red Room, which is where they train the Black Widows, they made it so she can't have kids either because it's an unnecessary distraction. This movie had a lot of dark elements to it. We also had the first appearance of Vision. Paul Bettany's Vision comes out after they steal that cradle from Ultron and they put the Mind Stone in it. Vision is so sick. I'm happy he's back, but I guess he's not really back. It's hard because I feel like there's no consistent storyline here, like in terms of the MCU as a whole. Like, where's Vision? What's happening with Shang-Chi? That movie came out like 2 years ago. Where's Spider-Man at? There's so many. When we were going through this multiverse saga, the Infinity Saga, you would have just like four movies a phase, one for each character, and then they team up in the Avengers. It's simple. We followed it. It was easy. But now, I don't even know what's really going on anymore. Like, yeah, I guess like we have an idea. It's the Infinity Saga or the Multiverse Saga, I mean now. But it just feels like not as cohesive and as fun even to follow as we were at this stage, like with Age of Ultron. Like, even this is when Thor figures out that there's something going on with the Infinity Stones. So that was cool. This is the movie where Hulk disappeared and he ended up falling up on Sakaar. That was at the end of the movie. This movie also had one of my favorite like final battles because you have all the Ultron robots just coming out to touch this button basically. And if they touch the button, the island will drop and basically eradicate most of the human population. So the Avengers all show up in front of this button and they try to stop all these robots from coming in and pushing the button. That's basically what it is. And it was just a sick battle, just slow motion. Like they're all flying at it. They're kicking ass, just having the time of their lives, being Avengers in stiff. It was awesome. In Age of Ultron, you had the first appearance of Wanda, a current fan favorite, the first appearance of Vision, really another current fan favorite, the first appearance of Quicksilver, who unfortunately got killed off. You had great performances across the board from all our Avengers. You had an amazing final battle scene. And to tie it all together, to make it all work, you had a just incredible performance from James Spader as your main villain, Ultron. It's an amazing film. Full marks to it. So where does it rank? That's always the question at the end of these episodes, right? Where does Age of Ultron rank in the movies we have seen so far? Well, I got good news for you. It cracks our top five. Age of Ultron comes in at number 5 on our MCU power rankings. Tune in next week when we'll see Ant-Man. That's right. Ant-Man next week.